둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Save big money on your next upgrade now at Menards. Some things never go out of style, like tile from Mohawk. You can count on the durability, easy maintenance, and timeless beauty of tile. With over 350 ceramic, porcelain, mosaic, and glass tiles to choose from, Mohawk Tile provides long-lasting charm in any space. Visit the store and Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on in our weekly flyer.
Save big money at Menards.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I'm sat in a room surrounded by, in the studio surrounded by windows, and the sun moves around as the time goes on. Also standing in my pajamas.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here, for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with the entire series. You're going to get three brand new interviews sent to you every single week, a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover those new ones. You can catch us anywhere you get your podcasts from, including Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Don't forget to like and leave a review. That helps so much every single time. We've had some great guests on lately, including Joe Keery from Stranger Things and Fargo, Neil Finn, lead singer of Crowded House, Jasmine Cephas-Jones was here. She's, of course, from the original cast of Hamilton. She's got new music out. We talked with two cellos, one half of two cellos, Hauser, Ross Lynch of the Driver era, MGMT, John Malkovich, Paloma Faith, on and on and on. That's just another reason to subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. And that's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, my guest, actor Tom Payne. You know Tom Payne from so many things. The Walking Dead, maybe Prodigal Son. We're going to be talking about, he's in this new Blumhouse horror film, Imaginary. And he's also in Kevin Costner's upcoming double feature, Horizon and American Saga. We get to talk about both of them, hear about the intricacies of working in horror and thrillers, why he wanted to do another season of Prodigal Son, and why he didn't want to become a zombie on the long-running Walking Dead series. Tom's going to go on to tell us about just crying the first time he got on set of Horizon. And we'll look back at 2011's Luck, that series that he was in, and get a preview of an upcoming sequel to The Physician, once again starring alongside Ben Kingsley and Stellan Skarsgård. All that and more as we dig into Imaginary in theaters now. It's Kyle Meredith with Tom Payne.
Hello.
You do have a lot going on. We got movies. We got kids and family. We got just about everything. How's your year going so far? Because I feel like that's a way for a lot of people, because you know there was pandemic and everything stopped, and then you work again, and then there's a strike, and then all of a sudden everything comes out at once. So it looks like you're busy. Are you busy?
I got very lucky. I made these projects that are coming out this year. I have three films. The first film coming out March 8th is Imaginary with Blumhouse. And then I have a couple films coming out in the summer, the Horizon Westerns with Kevin Costner. And I filmed all of those. I filmed Imaginary just before the strike. Like, we finished a couple of days before the strike happened. And I feel very fortunate that I managed to get that in, because, yeah, the strike shut everything down. And if you didn't get anything done in that time or even before that time, and you have nothing else coming out this year, you probably don't have something done that will come out until next year. You know, so I feel really fortunate that I'm visible because, yeah, as you said, we have family, and I can't believe it's the end of January already. We have another baby on the way, and yeah, it's the second pregnancy all happens very fast. But at the same time, I have to get back to work. I was very fortunate with our son that I had just finished a job and I could take some time off. But now, because of the strike and everything, like I do need to get back to work. So I think it's going to get even more hectic because we're going to have newborns and then I'm going to have to work. So we'll see how that goes.
It's always been a weird industry, right? I mean, do a job and then done, and then you're done for a while and you don't have to do a job. And
yeah,
and that's when the life happens. And I want to get back to that in a minute. I'll tie that back around later on but first I want to talk about this new movie. You were talking about Imaginary, Blumhouse. So we're talking a horror movie, the full on. I was reading here, woman returns to her childhood home to discover that the imaginary friend she left behind is very real and unhappy that she abandoned him.
Yeah. It's a fun twist. You know, it's one of those movies that my agent sent it to me and he said, you know that it's going to be, you can see the marketing when you read the script. You're like, oh yeah, this has got a teddy bear. And literally the poster ended up being what we were saying on set. It was like, oh, immediately the poster is like the teddy bear and imaginary across the top. And it's just a great, like a kind of iconic figure you can use, like in a similar way to Megan, you know, name of the character Megan, and it was the animatronic girl. It's the same with this. It's like the teddy bear is the center of everything. And it has, you know, creepy, my daughter's in the movie. So I have two daughters and a previous marriage, which I've left behind. And I married Dwanda's character, Jessica, and we move into her childhood home. And my youngest daughter discovers a teddy bear in the house. And and the film happens.
And the film happens, right. Right. And and always the fun about when you're talking about a horror movie or something like this, like what you can't say, what you can say. I know that's a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, though, you know, and this is what I was alluding to a minute ago, because in the preview, we see this little girl who, of course, you know, like every great horror movie with a child and the serious face. And as a dad, does that ever cross? Because creepy kids on set and what they're going through, like now that you've become a father, do you see that any difference?
I mean, there's definitely, so my son is two now, and you know, we read him books at night and he falls asleep in our arms or whatever, and there's definitely moments when you look at them and you're like, wow, if you like turned your head at me right now and didn't say anything, it would be really creepy. Like, you know, because kids have this real imaginary world, and my son is in the last few months just really started to use his imagination, and you're very aware that there is a lot going on in there, but a lot that you can't really get to. Like, it's in their head, they're not going to tell you. I mean, he can't yet, and he's just starting to speak, but like, there's so much going on in there and they're thinking so much. Like, we have friends who have little kids, and I'd say it's mostly little girls who are really looking at you, and it seems like they're judging you. You know, little boys are a bit more simple and knock around and stuff, but little girls are like sizing you up, and it's really weird and creepy. Yeah, there's a lot going on with little kids, and a lot that they can't explain to you.
Yeah, the way you can stand in front of a huge crowd and be okay, but when a 5-year-old can tear you apart,
absolutely,
giving you a look. Yeah, that's
yeah, yeah.
with horror movies, and so, you know, I'm going to reference Prodigal Son, which is not horror, but, you know, has...
It had things. Horror, yeah. We touched right. on it, yeah.
And of course, Walking Dead. When it's horror, does that bring something different as an actor than not? I mean, acting is acting, but when you get into genre, does it change noticeably?
I think it depends on the type of horror. So, yeah, Walking Dead, I guess, it's a horror show, and that was very, like, visceral and bloody. And then in Prodigal Son, we did a bit more kind of, we did some gross out stuff, but we did some jump cuts and everything. And the Blumhouse movies and those type of horror movies do include a lot of the jump cuts and everything, which is a lot in the editing. But you do know that when you're doing them on set, you know when there's a jump cut, when there's like a jump scare happening and stuff. But it really pops in the cinema because it's all about the sound as well and the build up and how the sequence is edited together. But they're a lot of fun to do. I was really excited to work with Blumhouse because I admire what they've done with that company and the simplicity of the stories. And yeah, this is my first, I just realized like this is my first American studio movie. I've worked for Universal Studios in Europe and different production companies, but I've never done a wide release American cinema film. And so I'm really excited for all the stuff that we're doing, all of the buildup and the premiere and stuff. It's all a fun ride so far.
And it, you know, what you were saying a minute ago with the marketing too, just what you can do with that on a movie like this that you can't with other stuff. I mean, that it just, you know, I don't know how much you get to be involved specifically in all that, but that's where the fun as a viewer, as an audience member, that's where it really comes into play. I mean, hearing about, you know, the first trailer where they tell you to close your eyes and you have to imagine, and like, that's where it starts, right? I mean, like, that's fun stuff. And Blumhouse, I mean, geez, to work with them, and they've become maybe the biggest name in this genre right now, just knocking out of the park.
Yeah. And now they've teamed up with James Wan's company, Atomic Monster, who is the other biggest horror company. So now they're this big horror conglomerate. And it's great because you know that they know what they're doing, you know, and if you go up to them and say, like, how's the movie? Like, what do you think about it? And they're very positive about it and very excited. And you can tell because it's done in conjunction with Lionsgate. Lionsgate are releasing it. So we've been talking to the press team over there and they're all really excited. As you said, like, it's very fun to promote a movie like this because there's lots of different things that you can do. And I mean, it's fun for me to think of ideas, you know, like as an actor, you read the script and you play the character on the page, but this is real. Like, you can come up with really fun adverts, commercials, and also, like I was saying, you know, the teddy bear can pop up at NFL games or it can pop up in different, it's like, it's a really easy thing to carry around and put in places. So I'm excited to see what they're going to do with that. And it's great for TikTok and Instagram reels and all that kind of stuff. And they've already started doing like fun PSAs and little things to get people excited.
And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Tom Payne. Are you able, you know, when you shoot these things, of course, again, movie magic, what we see at the end is different than when you're on the set. Do you find that you're able in a movie like this to forget the reality of the situation when you're watching it?
Oh, when I'm watching the movie? Yeah, I mean, there are lots of moments in the movie that I'm not in, which is really fun to see put together. Obviously, I read the script, so I know what happens, but it's really fun to see the horror moments that I'm not involved with. Some of which I was on set for actually to see, because there's a little bit of CGI in the movie, but most of it is practical effects, which was also really, really fun and exciting. And so there was some, the teddy bear, they built the teddy bear, and the teddy bear is capable of different things. And that's really fun. I mean, it's so great as an actor to have tactile things that you can hold and be scared of. You know, you're not staring at a green screen and pretending to be scared of something that they're telling you is there, which they're going to paint in afterwards. So it might even be something completely different to what you imagined. So it's really great to have something in front of you, like that's the scary thing that you have to run from or be terrified by. And there were some really great practical aspects to this. which I could talk about afterwards, but it was very fun, and I was honestly most excited about those aspects of it. And it was the same when we did Walking Dead. Like, all of the walkers on that show were real and in front of you. You know, they have these amazing special effects that you just react to that, which is fantastic.
And I think even as a viewer, you can tell, you know, it's
almost, oh yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Like the Star Wars effect, you know, we talk about the Star Wars effect of those first three movies. It was all very real stuff. And then when the prequels came out and it was all CGI, it's like, you could tell, you know, and whether the movie was.
Yeah. And they even went back to the originals and tinkered with them a bit, and you lose a bit of the groundedness of it.
The real stuff that comes through. I wanted to quickly, just because we mentioned it in Prodigal Son, because I know, you know, after the second season was kind of concluded, just to say that story and the way you guys played it and that cast and the level of acting that went on to that, was there more story that you wanted, that they wanted to tell, that you wanted to be a part of, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, there was so much story there. The difficulty with the show really was, it's like Prison Break, you know, like, what do you do once they break out of prison? You know, so we broke Michael out a couple of times. But then what is the show? Because it only really works if he's at the prison. But so we did, you know, he daydreamed about him, or he dreamt about him in different places. So that was fun. I mean, I've been saying, like, it would be fun to, like, for them to go on the run together and solve crimes across America kind of thing, you know. But you know, something like that's kind of quite hard to put together. Yeah, I mean, there was lots of stories to tell. I think everyone on that show was incredibly well cast. And we were able to play with genre a lot on that show. And I think sometimes that worked against it because people didn't quite know what they were watching. Like, sometimes it was funny, sometimes it was scary, sometimes it was really emotional. And it all worked because everyone was so capable of playing their part. And it was, Michael and I's relationship in the show was so grounded and real. And I mean, Michael, I used to watch him do stuff. I'm like, I can't believe you're getting away with that performance. but he is, because he's so brilliant and so grounded. And sometimes I would find myself on set just looking at him going, wow, that was great.
I mean, and that's, seriously, it was like watching high art acting, like masterclass type of stuff, even though it wasn't the traditional masterclass type of genre or story, you know, like somehow that landed. And that's really rare that you get something like that.
Yeah, I you know, it's a bummer. Like I said, if we'd have been on the air like 10 years ago, I think we'd have been the biggest show on TV, you know. It's just a different landscape now, and we weren't quite popular enough. And COVID did kind of bring us down. The show was very expensive to shoot during COVID, and I think at the end of the day, the numbers just didn't work out, which is what it is. It's a business. So yeah, it was a bummer, but it was honestly exhausting to shoot. I was like, you know, in every single day, and you're also like kind of captain of the ship as well. You're making sure everyone else is okay around you off camera, you know, and you know, you have to lead by example. And it was a very stressful part. The guy was like emotionally on the edge the entire time. So it was pretty exhausting, but very rewarding. I mean, I've said it a lot, but I, on The Walking Dead, I love that character and I love that show, but I was always like, I'm not quite getting enough to do. And then Prodigal Son was like, okay, here you go, do everything all at once. And so nowadays I'm like, I'm really enjoying like coming in and doing Imaginary. I wasn't in every single day. I'm not carrying the movie. It's DeWanda's movie. She's fantastic. And I get to watch everyone else be great and there's no pressure on me. So that's wonderful and really lovely to be able to pop in and do that. I feel very, very lucky. As I said, I'm excited to see the movie with an audience.
I want to ask about Horizon, but I'll quickly, the one thing I'll say about The Walking Dead is, around here it gives my favorite argument with my wife, that I, you know, the people will ask the questions like, where would you go, where would you hide, what weapon will you use? I'm always quick to say, become a zombie. Just give in. It's so much easier. You don't have to be exhausted running the whole time. You don't have to eat. You don't have to worry about sleep. Just become the zombie. Let it work.
Well, you already are. Everyone already is on that show. You know, like, you die and you become one. So you say that, but when I died on that show, people are like, well, didn't you want to be? I'm like, no. I did not want to sit in makeup for hours and hours, wear a latex hood. Like, no. Those guys on that show who play, the guys and girls who play the walkers, I mean, they deserve medals because they bake in the sun. They're in very uncomfortable positions and they're wearing all this makeup. They have to get in earlier than us in the morning and leave later than us at night. That's the hardest job on that show. And so I would not join you in being a pretend zombie. But in the real world, I'm not sure I would either. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Pretend zombie, that sounds like a lot of, that still defeats the whole purpose. But real zombie, easy street right there. That's
okay, you're worrying. A special person, Kyle.
As long as you don't eat your family, that's where it gets a little
bit. Sure, well, there's no guarantees.
No guarantee.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Tom Payne.
Horizon. So we coming up. So this is a movie, a story that I think I read this, that Kevin Costner has been, he's had it in his back pocket for over 30 years, like 35 years or something.
Yeah. He's been writing this and working on this since the 80s. And it started as one film, I think. And then it became four. And I think now we might be down to three, but I don't know. We've shot two of them. And it's this amazing Western saga, as an American saga, epic film. And I just couldn't, we shot it in Utah. And if you haven't been to Utah, it's just stunning scenery. And I've got film from my iPhone and I was on the wagon train in the movie. So we've got all these wagons and horses and people riding everywhere. And we're out in the middle of nowhere in Utah. Got my phone out and filmed. And it was just like being on a set in the 50s. Like the only difference would I've been saying is the size of the cameras, because everything else was there. It was, would have been exactly, it's, I cried. I'm not joking. I'm not exaggerating. I cried on set because I was just like, sometimes you have these moments where the reason why you got into it comes to the forefront. And like when I was a kid, I wanted to be in a movie. Like, I wanted to be in a movie, first of all. And this sounds so stupid. Like Harry Styles got in trouble for saying this one for Don't Worry Darling. But like, I think this feels more like a movie than Don't Worry Darling. Maybe, I don't know. But I would say it did. But you're just, you just couldn't believe you were there. You're in this movie. You're in this movie that you've seen a bunch of times in this Western cool setting. And so much so that like Kevin did have to come over to me and be like, okay, just you're a real person, you know, kind of thing, because you're just, you can't believe it. You're like, I'm in this movie and I'm playing this character. And I'm like, no. Okay, calm down. You're real and you have a real relationship with this person. I just had to calm down a bit because I was so excited and honored. He zoomed me when I was in Bath, where I come from in England, with my parents. And my wife was giving our son a bath downstairs. And I had this Zoom with Kevin and the casting director was on the Zoom and was like, hi Tom, okay, so here's Kevin. And I hadn't auditioned. My manager had sent some tapes over of like, oh, this is Tom, this is what he does. And then suddenly I was talking to Kevin, and during the chat, because I'm used to having chats with directors and casting directors where you're kind of still, you're talking about how much you love the project and you really want to do it and blah blah blah. And as the meeting went on, it became apparent that he was trying to convince me. I was like, I just thought, okay, shut up, Tom, shut up. Just listen to what he's saying. And then it ended with, it was amazing. And it ended with him like, so I'd love for you to come. And then I went, I put the phone down and I went down, I got really emotional. And I went down to my wife and I was like, I think Kevin Costner just offered me a job, like face to face. And it was just, oh my God, what a dream. And then it just continued to be a dream. And I took my family. We got married in New York and we drove across country with our son in a van. And we stopped off at Utah on the way and I did my costume fitting. And so they were there with me to see the beginnings of the world. And it was a real, real experience. And I'm excited for it to come out. I'm excited for something like that to come out. It's a real, you know, I saw a test screening and it was pretty long and I was like, oh, this is long. But actually, by the end of it, I wanted to see more. And it is two parts. Like, you need to see the second one after the first. And you want to. Like, I've been in it and I know it. And I thought, oh, is this going to feel really long? And it doesn't. And I'm not a big fan of the really long movies nowadays. Like, this is getting a bit. I haven't watched Flower Moon yet because it's 3.5 hours. I'm like, it's long. But and I'm not just saying this because I'm in it, but it didn't feel the time. And because there's lots of different stories, it really is a tapestry of stories. So each story is not 3 hours, you know. So it's, I mean, maybe half an hour, I guess, on each thing. Anyway, I've rambled now, but I'm very excited about that as well.
I'm so excited about it for all the reasons you said. I mean, a wide scope epic movie, you know, because we don't get a lot of those. And of course, Costner knows how to do those. He's done these before, and he's, you know, succeeded many times before. And you know, the things I read about it, I mean, you know, telling this part or era around the Civil War and how that lands with everything that's had, like, couldn't have been more perfectly timed there. And just, you know, I was laughing at the little teaser because all you see is Kevin with a gun. And I thought, that says it all, really. That's all you need to say. That's
I was like, okay. Yeah, Warner Brothers, yeah, put that out. That was pretty funny. But it is, you know, that's the demographic as well. It's like, yeah, I want to see Kevin Costner on a horse firing a gun. That's fantastic. So, but I can't wait to see the first trailer. I mean, that's going to be great. I don't know this, but I think it's Warner Brothers. So I think they might put it out with the Dune movie when it comes out. I think that makes sense. And it's a similar kind of epic scope thing. So I'm not sure when that is. I think it's in March. So I'm excited for that. Yeah. But first, Imaginary.
Yeah. And it'll put you back on a horse. And I only want to say that because I'm in Louisville, Kentucky here, where the horses are all around, and seeing you back in luck and all of that. I'm excited.
You know what? I just went, I took my son and wife to the Santa Anita racetrack on the day after Christmas this year. Because we got friendly with the people who are running it now, and we had a wonderful day, and my son absolutely loved it. And I had not been back in 10, 12 years, and since we finished the show, and yeah, it's a bummer. Like that's another show that got shut down, and you know, them's the breaks. But I was talking to the guy who runs the track now, and he said, you know, it's a shame because if we started it now, like, I think we could make it work and we'd still be doing it. But that was an amazing introduction to Hollywood for me. That was Michael Mann and Dustin Hoffman and Nick Nolte, all these fantastic people, and it was a bit of a dream. But then that got shut down, and then I went and did The Physician with Ben Kingsley and Stellan Skarsgård, which I couldn't have done, and we are in the process of putting together the sequel for that now, which hopefully I'll be filming pretty soon. So, you know, it's just funny how things work out. And I've always been moving forward. I'm always looking to the next thing and like, okay, we've done this and what's next? And life surprises you, you know. That luck got shut down and then this huge movie where I was the lead came along. It just, you can't ever keep yourself down too much because something else will come. And it really will. I mean, the hardest thing was having kids. And being like, okay, I really need to make money now and I really need to work. But another actor said to me, it's Michael Cudlitz, actually, from Walking Dead. He said, you know, kids bring prosperity and don't worry about it. And I think that's true, actually, because I think they bring a lot of light and joy. And then that comes off of you, you know, and people are attracted to that. So, yeah, excited to see what's next.
I'm glad you keep landing in the great places. Imaginary, so excited for that to come out, and especially to see you in Horizon after that. Congrats on this year, everything come out at once. Tom, seriously, thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it.
Thank you, Kyle. I hope I didn't ramble too much.
And my thanks to Tom Payne. Imaginary is in theaters now. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Again, please do hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all the interviews that we throw your way every single week, new and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And then after that, head over to WFPK.org. It's where I do a show Monday through Friday. It starts at 6 p.m. Eastern. You get the classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music. There are bonus interviews, music news. One of my recent episodes featured the music of Jane Birkin, Maya Hawke, Morrissey, David Bowie, Curtis Harding, Liz Phair.
The Poets of Rhythm, Tori Amos, Blonde Shell, Porno for Pyros, Sturgill Simpson, Miley Cyrus, Bakar, The Record Company, Jelani Araya, U2, Everything But the Girl, The Who, Counting Crows, Olivia Barton, Nora Jones, Charlie Crockett, Tom Petty, and my interview with Mary Holland. You know Mary from Veep or the Big Door Prize. She's also in that new movie, Self-Reliance. Just an example of what you get every weeknight starting at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. So do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith, and I'll see you next time. Consequence Podcast Network.
And I just tried to, hang on, let me start the video. Okay, I don't know what happened. The most frustrating thing when you're like, oh, okay, here we are.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.